In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. For our subject today, the Father takes the initiative to save man. I read those verses to let you know that, and I know that you know that, but that everything that there is because of God. He had to take the initiative to create the earth, and he did that. According to Webster, initiative means the beginning or the starting of something or having the willingness to just to do something. God took the initiative and created the earth. And when you read this passage of scripture, and that's why I love to every now and then go back and read that first verse. It doesn't even try to explain God. And they say, they tell me, I'm not a linguist. They say in the Hebrew, there's not a word for thee. But it says, if you read it in a little Hebrew, it says in beginning. Don't put a special time in that. A special time is because of man. And that's what thee does. Thee lets us know that this was at this time. And I say this, and I don't have one here in my hand now, but just imagine that I have a cup in my hand and you're looking at the inside of the cup from the front side of it. You cannot tell where the cup begins. That's the way it is with God. If God would not have created the earth with time, it just would have been a circle, but he inserted man in the earth, so therefore time started as we know it today. But before that, in eternity, there was no keeping up with time because he's been here since all eternity. The Father takes the initiative to save man, and because of Father's Day, I want to try to stress this point that the Father had to do something that nobody else could do. He had to start something, and he started it. He started to put into play what he was going to need to save man. And I know you're saying, all you historian and Bible scholars, but man had not been created. He had in the mind of God. Because you do know that there is no past and there is no future to God. We have a future, but to God things are now because everything is in his presence. Point number one comes from Genesis 3:15. The redemption of the fallen man. The tempter, who Satan, was also created by God. But then after God created the angels and man, he gave them a choice. That's why you're here today. You made a decision to come to service today. You had a choice to make. If I would have stayed home today in my yesterdays, I would have either, well, this time of year, I would have been fishing. But I made a choice. And so God created man and angels, and the angels fell, and God kicked them out. This is this guy we call Satan and the devil, the tempter. In this verse 3 and 15, the tempter was to be the object of the enmity of that God was placing there. Enmity was to be waged between him and the woman and her seed. This verse is speaking of the coming of the Messiah. He's on his way. And God took the initiative to start something to save man before it was actually time for Christ to come. He made a way. He's been coming ever since this verse. He's been coming. We get him all the way over here in some of these other, in these last two points in the New Testament. But he has arrived by then. But God took the initiative to start a program whereby he was coming along the way, doing things in time to save man, the seed of a woman. And most of us know that a woman does not have the seed. Man had the seed. See, God does things for us that nobody else can do. He forgives us of our sin that we commit. Because if you commit a sin against another person, you are also committing that sin against God. Because in when it gets down to the final analysis, all sin is against him. So God put in process, in time, the redemption of the fallen man. In Genesis 3:15, it said he was going to put enmity between them because the man had sinned. He sinned. Let me pause right here. We was having this discussion in Sunday school, and it was a mixed class. My wife would stick up her index finger. And all the men in here would know what that meant. Sin came into the world by one man. But she forgot the latter part. Sin was eradicated by one man. The man Jesus the Christ. But the point is that man had fallen, had gotten away from what God placed him here to do. He needed redemption. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. Redemption is when you have done wrong and you need to be brought back from where you were so you will be you can survive. And this is what God was doing for us. He was redeeming us back to himself because we needed it. I told you that there's some things we cannot do for ourselves. And we might know that it needs to be done, but we still just won't do it. There will always be enmity between the tempter and the woman because she knows that that's the reason why we walked away from God. And you do know that when the Bible talks about man, it's talking about all of us. The devil is not going to just try to get the woman. He gonna get you too, brother. Probably get you before he get her. But you got to know that he is after you, and you need to know and understand that God made a way for you to be redeemed back to him. And it's God who put enmity between the serpent and man. It is God who stirs man to oppose the evil that's in the world. It was God who said, I will put enmity between them. And in this passage, can you see the coming of the Messiah? We know of one virgin birth. We know of one birth that was because of the seed of a woman. That's the only one. He's telling us that I'm going to send somebody to take away the sins of your world, the sins of the world, if they will receive it. That same choice is still there for you to make a decision about whom you will serve. We sometimes give Satan too much authority in our lives. He is a defeated foe, but he himself will not quit. You're going to have to keep fighting him until you leave this earth or until you're raptured out of here. The devil is a defeated foe, but he himself will not act like he is defeated. Have you seen games when they was playing a game and they was 20 points behind, but they still kept playing? Well, that's the way the devil is. I know some way you're thinking it was the Miami Heat. And we're not going to linger on that point too long because I'm a Heat fan, so we're not going to linger there. And most of us, a lot of you knew that anyway, but we're not going to stay there. But he's going to stay there. He's defeated, but he's going to play until the clock get with double, triple zeros. He's not going to quit because somebody are going to start saying, well, that looks good. That I believe I'll follow that. And all he wants is just one more. But he's defeated. You are going after something. God set in motion a way to redeem fallen man. And it also, verse 15, also speaks of the suffering of Christ. He suffered for the sin of the whole wide world because that's what he came to do. Redemption of the fallen man. You don't have to stay down once you fall. All you need to do is get up. I keep saying this. It keep coming up where I say this. I was told that by a chief master sergeant said, if I fall down face first in mud, put my hands on the ground and push up and get up and walk, keep walking forward, so half of the people won't see my dirt. But he said, but if I wallow, everybody will see it. Those that are in front of me and those that are behind me will see the dirt that's on me. So, but if you fall, get up. Most of us, when we fall, by fall I mean in sin, when you sin, you just lay there and wallow in it. So, oh, I can't get up. Oh, poor me. Get up off your duff and do something. You don't have to stay there because Christ, God, have made a way. You're fallen. Get up. Get up. Point number two. Genesis 37 and 28. And you need to remember the subject. And the key word in the subject is initiative. Joseph sold into slavery. Verse Genesis 37 and 28. Joseph, the favorite son of his father, he now takes center stage in this book that we call the Bible. He's one of the dominant figures in the Bible that God now uses to save his people and his promise. And they did really need saving. They needed saving from moral decay, worldliness, and worldliness was about to destroy them. Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph was reared up in a wealthy home, but he ended up a slave in Egypt. The verse tells us that merchantmen came by and they used two names in the Midianites and the Ishmaelites, who were kinfolks of Joseph. The Midianites was from Keturah, the second wife of Abraham. The Ishmaelites were from the concubine of Abraham. So you see, they all are in there, kinfolks in the same place, doing what they do and doing it to others that are in their family. We need to understand that Joseph was sold into slavery, and this is still in the initiative of God to save man. I don't want you to forget that thought. And as I was preparing this all this week, I said, won't be too many people clapping and shouting today. Because this is where every one of us, if you're not there now, you have been. And if you don't watch out, you will be there again. That's wrapped up in slavery. And the slavery here that you're wrapped up in is a three-letter word called sin. Joseph was a godly man. He was the favorite son, as I said, of his father. And before he was sold into slave, his father had made him a coat of many colors. And he sent him to check on the other boys. There was 10 of them was out at work keeping the sheep. And he sent him to check on them, because he knew Joseph would bring him back what they were doing and what they were not doing. And he went out to see them and found a place where they were supposed to be. And a man told him, say, they're down about Dothan. He went and he saw them. And when they saw him, they said, here comes the dreamer. And they made plans to get rid of him. Caught him and was going to kill him, but the oldest son said, don't do that, Reuben. But he left and went off, and they dropped Joseph down in a pit. To show you the attitude of some of the people that you are in church with. They'll do stuff to you and won't think anything about it. They'll go down the Rhines and have the biggest meal that they've had before. This is what his brothers did. They took a seed and began to eat. And then as they were eating, they looked up and they saw some merchantmen coming. And instead of killing them, why not let's make some money? They saw them coming along and they pulled them up out of the pit. As I read this, I was thinking, I said, they said it was dry, so they must have thought some water would be in it, and when he went down in it, he drowned. But God took the initiative. They put him in that pit, and when those people come along, they drew him up out of there and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And I've heard it said a lot of times that the price of a slave, 20 pieces of silver, in some books you read and study, said it was the price of a young slave. And in my mind, I tried to figure out why there would be a difference between the price of a young slave and an old slave. Old slave was 30 pieces of silver. And I guess that to me it said that the young slave wouldn't know what to do, so he was not worth as much. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and to me, if we break it up, each one of them got 2 pieces of silver apiece for their brother. Sold him into slavery. He goes down into Egypt, sold to Potiphar, and then Potiphar put him over his household, and his wife began to look at him, and the longer she looked at him, the better he looked. And he got to looking so good that she wanted to commit adultery with her, and he would not do that because of his standards. And let me tell you, sometimes you can have high standards and other people not have them, and they'll hurt you. They will hurt you. So, but you need to do like Joseph. You need to not falter away from your standards, because he was on a journey. And since he would not, she got after him and he ran off and left his coat. See, you have to leave some things. What you leave may get you in trouble, but the trouble won't be as bad. We worry about trouble down here. We need to worry about trouble upward. Joseph left his coat and it got him in trouble down here, but it didn't with God. God had taken the initiative to put him in there so he could do what he needed for him to do. Went to prison, accused of rape. He never did become angry in spite of all the things that happened to him. And this is why in books you read and in studying, it tells you that if the Jews did not watch out, they could make Joseph Jesus, because he did so many things that were right. He took so much that the average man could not take. He did that because he was walking with God. God had put something in him for him to do what he was doing. And sometimes, in order to do what God needs for you to do, you got to go through something. That's why you need to not, wherever you are in your spiritual walk right now, you don't need to get weary in well-doing. You need to just stand, and on top of the word, stand again. Because God have taken the initiative to place something in each one of us to endure and get through the situations that we're in. I know it may seem impossible, but if you stay with God, God will. He will provide. And the Bible says in John somewhere, it said, Jesus said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be there. All we have to do is just stand. No matter what happens, if you stand on the word of God, you will come out on top. Might not seem like it. When everybody else seemed to be prospering and you seem to be going down, you just stay with God and God will provide just what you need. We need to understand that God, no matter what happened to us, if we're working and walking with God, he will provide just what you need. Don't think God is short on blessings. He's not going to run out. He has enough blessings to supply us with all that we will ever need. All we need to do is just stay in the Word and keep doing the things that he needs for us to do. Joseph into slavery. He got out of slavery simply because he stayed with the Word of God. History tells us in the Bible that he became second in command in the land of Egypt. That's how the children of Israel got to Egypt, because Joseph was there. Because they put him there. They sent him there. People may do things to you for harm, but God can get good out of what everybody else think is bad. You may be on your bed of affliction. You may have cancer and the doctor told you that there's no way out. But God said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We need to stay with the word of God. Yes, God is still healing today. You just got to expect him to do it and keep walking in it. And remember what the three Hebrew boys said. If he does not do it, it's not because he can. He can do it. But we got to stay in the word of God. Point number three. Going to come to the New Testament now. Point number three is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus' birth was of the Spirit. Never before had a man been born of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was. And brothers and sisters, you need to either accept that fact as evidence or you need to reject it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We said this morning in Sunday school class, you can't straddle the fence with God. You either for him or you against him. To me, that's why he does not try to explain his origin in the Bible. It just says in the beginning. There's no need of explaining. It's something we can't do. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a young woman. Some books say she was a teenager, and some just say she was a young virgin. I don't know. I just know what the word says. Scripture states this. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And when I study this and my mind goes back to, there used to be a paper called the Pittsburgh Courier. Some of you young people are not old enough to remember or know anything about that paper, but used to sell those papers for 10 cents. There was a headline in one paper that I remember, and it said, Virgin Gives Birth. And this was in the early 50s, and then it didn't register on me what it was saying, but so that doesn't make sense. Then a couple of weeks later, it comes out, Virgin Birth, and then it had a big dash, lie. I said, yeah. Had claimed to be, had not had been involved, but had been involved. So only Christ has been the seed of a woman. It says Mary was found with child. And in the Jewish culture, that was a no-no. That was being stoned to death, even though she was a spouse to her husband, meaning that they were engaged and they were supposed to be like that for a year, but they was never supposed to have any contact like that. So here she was and found with child, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Some people dwell on the birth as the miracle. I think she carried him for 9 months. And he was born just like any other child was born. But the miracle in the whole thing is the conception of him, where he was conceived. He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and what is in you is deposited by the Holy Spirit. We still are talking about God takes the initiative to save man. Man was on his way to hell. If Christ would not have come, then he would still be on his way to hell. You can still go to hell if you want to, but you don't have to go. You cannot go there if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is part of the initiative that God took in order to save fallen man. God loved man enough, he put everything here that man would need before he put man here. Didn't have to do anything else. Just had to create man. The water, the food, the shelter, all of that was already here. But the incarnation, God coming to earth, walking around down here to save me from myself. This is the initiative. God loved us so much that he took his only begotten son and allowed him to become what he made, so he could save what he made. That's love. That's love. Love that he has for us. He loved us enough. For God so loved the world that he gave. And he's always in a given mood to those that will receive his son. If you receive his son as Lord and Savior, you have everything that he has. And that's eternal life. There's nothing that you would go lacking if you receive him as Lord and Savior. May seem like it down here. But they sang a song. I can't sing it. It says, this world is not my home. I'm just traveling through here to get to someplace else. Before you get there, you got to go through. And so while you're going through, you still stay with God. He took the initiative, brothers and sisters, so you could get back in fellowship with him. We lost it. But he took the initiative to bring us back into fellowship. The Father took this initiative to bring us back into fellowship with him. God decided and in taking the initiative the man that would be the earthly father of his son, a man named Joseph, a godly man of the line of David. And he had questions with it about it after he found out she was with child. But see, when you're going through something, you don't need to go to in and everybody to help you go through what you're going through, because everybody can't help you. And everybody might not want to help you. They may enjoy seeing you be in the situation that you're in. The Bible doesn't say he went to anybody, but God found him in a dream. Go ahead, son. Do what you're supposed to do. And the thing that I'm beginning to love more and more about God, he doesn't tell you everything. He tells you enough just to get along and do what you're doing right now. That's all he gives you. Doesn't lay it out step by step. I guess that's why I say you got to trust in him. Trust in him and lean not to your own understanding. When you trust in God, you know where your faith is. You are on solid ground when you trust in God. If you trust in me, I might fail you somewhere down the line. And it don't have to be intentionally. But when you trust in God, he will not fail you. He will be there at all times. This is why he sent his son. This is why his son was incarnated. That's the closest thing we're going to see to God if we would have been here when he was walking earth, was Jesus Christ. He's part of the Godhead. We would have seen him if we would have been in his area at the time he was here. But I can see the results of him having walked here and lived here and done what he done in this word when I take this word and apply it to my life. Brothers and sisters, we have to allow, we have to let God, the initiative that God has taken in our life, to work in our life. If you do not allow it to work in your life, it won't work. And I love this about him. He won't make you do anything. You got to want to do it. If you wouldn't have wanted to come this morning, you wouldn't be here. I know you may say, Mama made me, but you wanted to. Because if you hadn't wanted to, if Mama was right, you would have paid the consequences for not. So therefore, when the incarnation of Jesus Christ was in part of the initiative that God was taking to get us to the place where we are now. There were quite a few people involved in this, that in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The husband of Elizabeth was involved in it, Zacharias. Mary was involved in it. These people knew about it. If they didn't know about it, right after the birth, they knew about it. Elizabeth knew about it, knew that he was coming. Joseph knew that he was coming. The shepherds, when he arrived, the shepherds knew that he had arrived. And then the wise men, somebody from a long ways off coming, knew that the incarnation of God had taken place. And then Simeon and Anna at the temple, when they was taking him for his rights to be, or the rights of a male coming out of the womb. So you see, it's not something that was done in the dark. It's out here, it's wide open. Just because everybody don't know about it, it doesn't mean it's not right. It's not in the order of God. God took the initiative. He took the initiative because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Point number four. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:1-6. In his resurrection, Christ, sealed with divine power and authority, all that he did in life and death, he sealed it. And when something is sealed, It means that nothing else can get into that. He sealed it. That means that his life and his death, burial, and the resurrection was a seal about who he is. He is the resurrected Son of Lord God Almighty. There have been some people, and you read about them or you have read about them in the Bible, that was raised from the dead. They were not resurrected. Because if they would have been resurrected, they would still be alive today. Well, Baggett, how do you know Jesus is alive today? Because the last thing we read about him in the Gospels says he bolded a cloud and went back to glory. Went back all to be at the right hand of the Father. And I can know he's there because of what he has done for me. I'm sorry. All the rest of y'all probably would have made it anyhow. And I keep saying that because that's just the way I feel. Because I know that if he would not have been God and is God and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and it's there in my behalf, when I ask him to forgive me of my sin, and he wasn't looking at my face or the trouble that I was in, he was looking at my heart, he knew that my heart was in a redemptive mode. And if I got to show you or sometime explain to you how I know that he forgiven me, I'll fall short. Because I can't do it. But I believe with everything I have to believe, with every breath I have to believe, that I have been forgiven of my sin. Just because of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Because he paid a price. He paid a price for your sin and my sin. I heard a message preached one time. The pastor said when he would preach, he said, I just believe when the boat, when the cross went in the hole and it hit the ground, said all of my sins is what caused the earthquake. Because the sins are so heavy that the earth cannot stand the sins of the world. When this one man was crucified on Golgotha Hill and he hung there and he died. When he was crucified and he had done no wrong, he was in my place. I think the big word they use in Bible and in seminary school is propitiation. He paid it in full. He paid everything that needed to be paid for all the sin of the world if the world would just receive him as Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, that's where the catch come in. He's already paid it. But if you don't believe it and don't receive it, it's no good to you. And just because you don't believe it and receive it, don't doubt me and don't badmouth me because I do. We need to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God taking the initiative to make sure that we can be back in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where man started from in the beginning. You got to believe. If you don't believe it, it will never work. In those verses, he was resurrected. They went to the tomb where he was, and then they found out that he was not there. I thought it was interesting to me, and I'm not smart enough. The Holy Spirit had to lead me to do this. In verse 3 and 15. And then verse 6. Mark 16 and 1 and 6. The primary person in both of these are women. And I'm not a sexist, brothers. But sisters, don't y'all get the big head. There's not going to be any genders up there. Going to just be all God's children. But it's funny that God will use whatever will receive him to use what he had. The men were in 16 were someplace else locked up in a room because they were scared somebody was going to hurt them. But they went to do what God needed for them to do. So in the resurrection, God took the initiative to tell us by the resurrection that this is what can happen to you if you believe and receive my son. If you believe and receive him as Lord and Savior, then this is what can happen to you. Doesn't matter what they do to you down here. If you stand on the word of God, in heaven you will be. And listen, brothers and sisters, this world is not the end. God is an eternal God. I don't know what's on the other side of eternity, but eternity. And if I am made in the image of God, I am an eternal being. I'm going to live for eternity somewhere. Either in heaven or in hell. One of the two places. And once you get to one place, you can't leave and go someplace else. You're going to spend eternity there. So therefore, I believe in the resurrection because Christ was resurrected from the dead and he is alive. All of those people saw him. And then they saw him bolt a cloud and leave here. Brothers and sisters, God took the initiative to save you. Now, whether you will receive that or not is left up to you. We have learned how to play church, how to act safe, how to do those things that church folks do. But you need to take the initiative to love God and love him more than you love anything or anybody else. Because if you love God, you'll love everybody else. Doesn't mean everybody gonna love you. But you love them. It's left up to you whether you love me. You can't stop me from loving you. And that's where God is. He loves us with the love of a father. Doesn't matter how bad a child is. There ought to be two people that love him. Mama and daddy. Ought to be two. If you got grandparents, they're going to love them anyhow. But you just got to love them. The father took the initiative. He stepped out and said, I'm going to save them. I created them, so therefore, I'm going to save them. I'm going to make a way for them to come back. And he made that way in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People didn't believe it. And I said to me, I'm not smart, but I said the Romans sold the Roman government and those other people wasn't too smart to me. I said, all they had to do if they wanted people not to believe Jesus was still in that tomb was to make it available for everybody to come see. They knew. Might not want to admit it. That's one of the most infallible proofs of the resurrection. The empty tomb. Because in the tomb, the body was placed. They had their soldiers to place the body in the tomb. But now they look and the body is not there. That's what they told him. He's risen. He's not here. God set all this in motion and took the initiative way back in Genesis to get us to this point. Brothers and sisters, if you don't believe in your heart that he is the Lord and Savior, I can't help you. But I tell you this, I'll keep telling you. You're going to have to reject it. Because if you don't receive it, then you have to reject it. Yes, it matters how you live while you're here. I'm through.